Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Iyana Kanata with What Black Women Really Think. And tonight, our episode is going to be COVID-19, What's Next, Part 2. And last night, me and my co-host, we talked about how the symptoms of the novel coronavirus may be different in some people than others. And also, we also talked about some things that we can do to curb, you know, getting sick and different things like that. So tonight is going to conclude some of the things that we mentioned. Their doctors working around the clock trying to come up with a vaccine for this pandemic that struck society. So we have a caller calling in.
Hi.
Hello, caller. Hi, how are you?
I am well, luckily.
Great. And who am I speaking with?
This is Zainab from Long Beach.
Hey, Zainab. Glad to join me. Be my co-host tonight on the What Black Women Really Think. So what I was just talking about is, you know, that basically it's a lot of different doctors in different labs that are working around the clock trying to come up with a vaccine, you know, and see who's going to be able to come up with it in time. And then there has been word that China has come up with something and that, you know, it may be something that can help with this coronavirus, that's a vaccine, and their people seem to be recovering. Have you heard about that?
Actually, I did hear a little tidbit of something tonight, which I happened to be with somebody who was watching TV. I don't really have TV, but 60 Minutes was on, so if anybody's interested, they can follow up with 60 Minutes. That aired tonight talking about the coronavirus. And there was a young man on there who was talking about how he was very close to human testing with his solution, his cure. I don't have a lot of information on this, and I don't like to talk about things I don't know about. So that's why I would direct you to 60 Minutes to get the full skinny on what he was talking about. But I thought it was interesting. I mean, to me personally, the whole talk of a vaccination is a bit much. Like, you know, once they come up with it, because there's so much controversy surrounding this particular virus, how many people are lining up to take this vaccine once they get it together anyway, you know?
Maybe a lot, because they may feel like, you know, they want to. But, you know, people also know the mechanics of a vaccine. They have to inject you with it in order to, you know, get your body to form the antibodies to fight it. And so then that's a concern, because what if you have complications from that, you know?
Right. I mean, if they're going to inject you, I mean, of course, usually what they say is that it is a dead version of the virus that they inject you with so that your body can produce antibodies for that particular pathogen. And I'm like, yeah, you ain't sticking me with nothing. You know, this is my personal on it, because we don't know enough about it to be trying to stick somebody with it, talking about it's a dead version of it. And, yeah, just personally, not for me. And then it's a two-week cycle. They're saying that, you know, actually I think my brother and I were talking about it, and he was saying that in China they're saying 3 weeks and it'll run its course. You know, given just if it's just a normal virus, 3 weeks it'll run its course, then do you really need a vaccine for that? If you don't already have it, then maybe you want to get a vaccine. Maybe you just want to, you know, take your chances or whatever. Everybody is not dying from this. I think it would be wise for people such as myself to look at the survivors, like what was unique about them that made them on the survivor list that, you know, as opposed to those who did not survive. So that's kind of what I'm looking for when I do my research. Like, what were the factors that contributed to their being able to bounce back from this without, you know, with little to no repercussions? Because,
I want to know more about them. And I want to retract a statement I made in an earlier show a couple of days ago. I mentioned Dr. Ali Muhammad and a tincture that he has that's called Viral. I said Viral No, but it's Viral
No.
And, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of pricey for, you know, just like something that, you know, but if it's an alternative to a vaccine and it's natural and organic, then it's worth, you know, no potential side effects, then it's worth giving it a try, you know, because you're not going to be, they haven't developed one yet. So, you know, you don't want to sit around and wait if you think you have symptoms on them to create the vaccine before you, you know, you reach out and maybe get something that's, like we've been mentioning in the last few nights, something that's more natural and organic that, you know, is coming from natural sources. Because,
I was just going to add on to what you were saying. I think that that's something that is not really talked about much in the media is alternative medicines, alternative remedies, alternative solutions in general. Like, it's not really talked about. But if you do if you do some research, then there, I mean, like I told you about my thieves oil. Got my thieves oil today. You know, I think that there's lots of things that we can do to boost our immune system. I think that Western medicine in general looks at the approach of a pound of cure lots of times, you know, on these types of things. Oh, we need, you know, a vaccine, or even their ounce of prevention turns into a pound of prevention as opposed to an ounce, you know. Sometimes the solution is worse than the problem, you know what I mean? And so I think that it's really up to us as individuals to start looking, you know, be our best health advocate and start looking for solutions that may not hit the mainstream news that are just as effective, if not more effective, and less intrusive, you know? So,
and tell me more about these.
The thieves oil.
I
like to talk about stuff about that. But I was on a trip with some very knowledgeable young women in Tennessee, and we were all talking about potential solutions to this that are within our power to do. And thieves oil came up, and thieves oil is said to. This is my first experience with thieves oil, but it's said to be able to eliminate any virus. So, of course, with that being said, I was like, well, let me give it a shot. It's certainly, the bottle that I bought was 15 milliliters. I bought it off the internet, and it came today, so I have not yet tried it. I don't really have any viruses to try it on, you know what I'm saying, but I just believe in hanging up and using as much prevention as I can. But it basically, I mean, you know, like any other recipe, you can find variations. Basics, there's five ingredients, and it all includes essential oils. And so, you know, it's not hard to, you know. Yeah, you can create your own thieves oil if you're in that position. Essential oils can be pricey, but they are not necessarily. I mean, I think I paid less than $30 for 15 milliliters. If it works, like it says it works, I would do it again 3, 4, 5, 10 times, you know? Because, you
exactly. I got some colloidal silver. Something that has a lot of information, you know, the make sure you get, you know, something that's not, you know, that's pure, you know, when you get in colloidal silver. Right. But that's also something else that, you know, it doesn't allow organisms, you know, and it can't coexist, you know, with bad organisms in, you know, the environment. So that's something to look into, too, the colloidal silver, the effects of that, you know.
You're my charcoal queen, girl. with that charcoal. So,
oh yeah,
you know,
activated charcoal. Yes. That can get rid of food poisoning. It can, you know, also everybody knows this as a good teeth whitener, but it does so much more. It helps wounds. If you get a cut, you know, you're worried about it getting infected, it will, you know, it does so much. You know, it's good for so many things that it's like it got to be in your first aid kit. Activated charcoal, and it's cheap,
right.
You know, it's like $10. And then, you know, like we were saying, we got colloidal silver, we got the essential oils, we have the sea moss we did the other day,
I was going to throw in another one. Mandrake is an herb. I know Dr. Goss carries mandrake, and mandrake is a really powerful herb that is a blood purifier. Mm-hmm. The way my iridologist explained it is that is what the pharaohs used to use, and if they thought that they had been poisoned, then they would ingest mandrake to purify their blood and put them back on track. So, and you know, that's available in Compton. You know what I mean? You ain't got to go far and wide, and you know, some of these things are right under our noses, and you know, even with the elders, you know what I'm saying? That dandelion tea is another thing that you know, a lot of the elders know about in terms of purifying your, you know, cleansing your system. And then we also want to talk about boosting your immune system. Those, you know, eating an alkaline diet, a plant-based diet, a raw food diet even, because raw foods create alkalinity in the body, just like the alkaline water does the same thing. And viruses, bacteria, things of that nature, pathogens have a difficult time surviving in an alkaline system. So you definitely want to look into all of these things that we can do that don't involve going to the doctor and perhaps getting more than you bargain for, you know? So,
yeah. And I also the Kagan water machine, there's water ionizers, but this is a different type of water ionizer altogether. I believe it has like a 25-year shelf life, and it produces antibacterial water, and it produces alkaline, ionized water. And then, you know, that is going to definitely help keep your immunities up too. So, you know, we have so many different things that we can benefit off of that we can just do for ourselves, that we're just able to try to combat anything that may come our way, because like we said, we don't know how far it spread, and we don't know how, you know, deep the rabbit hole goes at this point, you know, as far as the we're really dealing with. I was looking on Wikipedia earlier just at basically like what, you know, to really call this, and it was interesting because on Wikipedia it was basically, you know, going from the epidemiology of the SARS-CoV-2. So it seems it's a similar, you know, of course we know it's similar to SARS, but it's as if they're calling it SARS-2 because it's called SARS-CoV-2 now, along with being COVID-19. So seems that, you know, that's something that if people understand how that was tackled and how that was dealt with, will give them a deeper understanding, because it seems like it's another level, because, you know, the way it did mutate and transmit to different different areas in the environment. So it's really very interesting, because, you know, there's so many different theories on, you know, where it started, and, you know, the whole bat thing, and, you know, it's like, okay, did the bats really cause corona, you know? That's still up, you know, for debate, you know.
That's always confusing to me. Like, how does it jump from an animal to a human? Like, how does that even occur? You know what I mean? Like, was somebody, like, hugging a bat, or, like, what? Like, how would that even occur?
You know,
same thing when they were talking about the monkey in Africa and how the monkey did something to the human, and now the human has Ebola or E. coli or whatever. I think it was Ebola. supposed to have came from some African monkey, and it's like, well, what y'all doing with the daggone animals anyway? You know, bats and humans don't really have no business kicking it. So I'm just kind of confused with the, how do these viruses jump from the animals to the humans? I don't understand. Like, there's so much I don't understand, but that's definitely
They put a lot of it on these the new fad that was going on, the mukbang that originated out of Asia, I believe specifically China, where, you know, you just have this big old feast to yourself or among, you know, a few close friends, and you're just eating a whole bunch of food, almost like gluttony, just, you know, eating all this food. But supposedly, because in Asia and different places, they eat exotic animals such as bats, and they have these places where they eat these things, they're saying, you know, they were saying that it transmitted like that, like in a rabies form. So, you know, I was looking on the Mercury News. Yeah, it said you know, like Ebola, it even raised, you know, questions about that, you know. And then there's been a population increase of bats in Australia that people haven't been talking about. They've just invaded Australia, you know, during the daytime and everything, because, you know, all the trees and everything from the fires that have been burnt down, you know, it's all
Are
of a sudden
bats invading bats. Australia.
Yeah.
That population has increased in Australia. Okay.
Yeah, it's a big surge in the population. So, you know, it's just a lot of, you know, because basically when they mention the SARS and then they mention MERS, you know, which SARS was in 2003, and then you know, they said that had to do with Chinese bats too, like weasel-like animals that were sold in exotic markets. And then there was the source of MERS, which, you know, was in Saudi Arabia. So there's, you know, exposure to rabies.
So all this
when
stuff
you're
is coming from exotic animals. How about y'all stop eating the damn exotic animals? How about, can we all agree to do that? Can we just try to end this thing, like, once and for all? Like, stop eating them doggone things. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I understand that they eat those exotic foods worldwide. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the problem does not exist worldwide initially. So, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical, but, you know, whatever. But, again, if that's what everybody's agreeing on, then just stop eating the doggone exotic animals, you know? Stick to your chicken or turkey or whatever you eat.
Right. Put them in the cage or something and just leave them. You know, you want to watch them and look at them or something like that. And President Trump was mentioning they had asked him during a press conference, well, how come the whole nation isn't on lockdown? You know, you have California that's going to be on lockdown, New York, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, well, some areas aren't really affected as of yet. So the only people really on lockdown are people that they've been affected and that there's active cases in our area. And so for some reason toward, you know, mid-America, it's less exposure to it. And, you know, I don't know if they have travel or, you know, whatever. But, so that's interesting to find out. It's just interesting to find out how, you know, everything is coming about, because we are in a very, California's a population is very large, you know. Southern California especially. So being that we're all piled on top of each other, just like in New York, it's kind of a concern, you know, because they're mentioning about the social distancing, and people are really, you know, serious about that, which is totally understandable, you know. So, like, I was at the courthouse the other day, and I had to fill out some paper, and I asked her, could I get borrow a pen? And she's like, no, we don't loan pens, which was totally understandable. So she was like, but you can go to the gift shop and get buy some. So I was like, okay, no problem, you know, I understand. because, you know, you're coming to work, but you don't want to put yourself at risk, and because it doesn't really have a look or, you know, a label, like, oh, this person looks like they got this, you know, they say people are asymptomatic, symptomatic, and they don't even know they have it, and they're walking around with it, so that's why.
And by the way, I got my thermometer and took my temperature today, and I was normal. Run a few tests because I don't want to go to the hospital and get tested. Just, I mean, I'm not really at risk, and so, but I'd like to know if I had it. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, what can I, again, about that empowerment, girl? What can I do? You know, what can I do myself to kind of keep a check on myself? Get that thermometer, though.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody, get those thermometers. You know, get you some flashlights with some batteries. Make sure you got a can opener. You know, you have a, possibly have a barbecue grill, and you know, some charcoal. And
I was looking at the fire.
Right, just be practical. Have some your basics. Don't overdo it, because they said that you know, people shouldn't panic about the groceries. That we're not going to run out of groceries. You know, things may be slow. They said sanitizers may take a couple weeks, but the toilet tissue should be here, you know, within a week. You know, like back to the way, you know, close. I don't know if it's going to be like the way it was, but you know, that a little bit back to normal. So. They said don't over, you know, stock up on food and all that, because that shouldn't be a problem at this point. What their problem is, they have a shortage of tests. They don't have enough tests for everyone.
Yeah. That's why I say, you know, we kind of, our health is our responsibility, and I think that we kind of have to take responsibility for it. Like, again, what can you do to kind of, you know, self-care? Because if you go, they don't have no vaccine, they don't have no cure for it right now anyway. So even if you have it, they're going to slap you in quarantine. Quarantine yourself, get you some tea, you know what I mean? And, you know, just kind of self-care. Get you that vitamin C. Make sure you get that vitamin D every morning or every day, every opportunity you have, 30 minutes in direct sunlight every day. And, you know, just try to beef up your immune system, because there's, what they can do is limited, you know what I mean? And there's so many other people that they have to care for. We can care for ourselves to some extent. So, you know, my mantra is do what you can for yourself to stay healthy, or to keep your, you know, keep your germs yourself, keep your cooties until you get them under control, you know, and then, you know, protect your environment. Be on the lookout, you know?
And then they say, you know, of course, they're working at the stimulus package. Donald Trump came out to mention that these big companies, the airlines, they're, you know, seeking aid for, you know, having to take off work. And also, you know, the people in the travel and tourism industry, they're really taking a hit. So, you know, they're going to be looking for aid. And then they're also willing, you know, say they're willing to help small business owners as well. So
let me tell you about what I saw today. Did you see that one of my friends sent me a link talking about tax refund loans, not handouts? And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Tax refund loans. So you're getting your tax refund. They're going to give you a loan on a tax refund that they are late responding to you with. Then they're going to charge you, you know, it's a loan, so there's probably interest involved because they didn't say zero interest. And then in addition to that, they're going to charge you taxes on the damn loan, because that's what they do. A loan is money being forwarded to you. So now they're going to girl, I'm like, if this ain't a pile of boop. I could not believe that. But that sounds like something that, you know, would come out of this particular administration. They don't know what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, they need to give people their money.
But they don't, they're clueless, because this is not their reality. You're talking about you're going to give Americans $1,000 to pay rent and buy food. Where? On the moon? Girl, $1,000 for rent, much less buy food. It's one or the other, buddy. In the end, it went from $1,000 to $2,000 checks. Somewhere in there, somebody was flying around a $1,200 check. I'm like, y'all tripping. None of that is sufficient. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, my business is literally shut down. They're talking, I'm in mm-hmm. education, and they have just extended the public schools shutdown until May, I want to say May 2nd or 3rd, something like that, first week of May. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay. So we went from April 20th, which is like 6 weeks, to
mm-hmm.
May something, May 2nd, 3rd, I'm not sure. So, okay, so now we're into like 2 months. And so then,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're depending on these parents to educate their children. Some people still have to work. What if your mom and dad are doctors? They're, you know, they have to go to work. They're not shut down. And so then the children are left to supervise themselves or educate themselves. Or, you know, it's just quite a mess. And, you know,
yeah.
$1,000 or $2,000, either way, that's not going to fix
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, that's just going to help you get, you know, and it's good that, you know, they're working with the tenant, the landlords, and explaining to them. I believe they're going to get some relief. I talked to a business owner yesterday. He said his landlord in his building where he, you know, rents his office at isn't going to charge him because he said the government is going to take care of them. So I said, okay.
That sounds
good for them, you know. But they said it's like, I guess, over $500 billion. So it's gonna be, they said, I think $1,000 per person, $500 per child, and $3,000 for a family of four. And if they're single, I think they could be up to like $1,200, you know, for just a single adult. So it would just go, they say it would go to taxpayers making less than $100,000 or $99,000.
So
we're at the end of our show, and I'd like to thank my sister Zainab from Long Beach for being
mm-hmm.
on with me tonight. And we wish you peace and stay safe
Good
and healthy
health.
Out there.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.